I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Finally, today on this Martin Luther King Jr. Day, we were thinking about what it takes to keep going when you're up against the odds. And that can be political, but it can also be personal, and that got us thinking about Jennifer Holliday. If you're a fan of R&B, the Broadway musical, or gospel music, then you surely know the name Jennifer Holliday as the original Effie in the Broadway musical Dreamgirls. Her version of And I'm Telling You I'm Not Going is the standard against which all other versions are judged. But after her stint on Broadway, she went on to a solo recording career while also battling a number of personal challenges. Now, more than two decades out of the recording studio, she's back with a new project, and it is called The Song Is You. That's the title track from Jennifer Holliday's new album, The Song Is You. She sat down with us in December to talk about her new album. The Broadway diva, who is known for her powerful voice, told me she once had a body to match that big voice.
Well, you know, I used to be a big girl. I used to weigh almost 400 pounds. A lot of people try to act like they don't remember, but they're not old enough to remember.
It's just hard to imagine.
Well, Dreamgirls was 33 years ago, so it is. If you weren't there, then I guess a lot of people only remember me now since my Ally McBeal years. So
yes.
That's what most people know me from now.
What was it like being back in the recording studio after such a long hiatus?
It was very difficult. First of all, because when I went in, they record now to a little box.
And so when I first went in, and my producer, he's a young man, about 20-something years younger than me, and he said, Jennifer, what's wrong? I said, they're disrespecting me. And he said, what do you mean? I said, they don't have the tape up. They don't have anything ready. He said, Jennifer, everything goes into this Pro Tools now. I said, I don't need my voice fixed. What do you mean Pro Tools? I don't need to be tuned or anything. They said, no, calm down. So it took me a long time that everything. So now my whole future is in a little box in a safe. I mean, I'm just like, what happened to all of the tape?
You know, normally when people do a new album, their publicists, no disrespect to your publicists, but they normally produce background materials, which are normally just, you know, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. I mean, yours is like a real conversation. It's like real information about how you really felt and how you really came to it. Just to give people a sample of it, you said, you're quoted as saying, for many years, I thought I just seemed to miss when it came to my recording career. I've made some records that were popular in clubs. I've had some near misses with a few R&B records. Then at a time when I really needed work, I was fortunate that Marvin Hamlisch invited me to sing with different symphony orchestras, and he cared so much about me that he allowed me to reinvent myself artistically. It goes on, you know, from there. It's like people can kind of hear that big band sound in the first piece. First, I was fascinated by why you just put it all out there. You just like, this is how I feel. This is what happened.
Isn't life like that, though? Haven't a lot of us just missed at a lot of things and thought that we wouldn't have another chance at it? So we give up early. So in the process of recording this album, which took me a long time, again, I'm met with setbacks and trying to get it out. And I had many missed release dates because of so many things in the way. I have health challenges. I have life challenges, just like everyone else. So I think I wanted to just mainly just say to people that this album is a return for me, but it's more so of how we want to win at life. So yes, you have near misses in love, but does that mean you give up on love entirely? Does that mean you give up on life entirely? So yes, I put quite a bit more that you didn't read out there.
Let's play one of the first songs from the album. Want to play Love Dance? Shall we start there?
Yes,
yeah, let's
start
hear that.
There.
Okay, here it is.
We loved, we slept, we kept the lights on. Morning finds us caught in life's most sensible trance. Hey, turn up the choir, yeah. Love.
people hear that famous Jennifer Holliday power about to spring. Mm-hmm. But you also hear a lot of range, a lot of nuance, mm-hmm. kind of the quiet moments. So talk about that. Was that part of the fun for you?
That was part of the fun, to let people, you know, and I've had a pretty much of a reclusive life, and the fact that a lot of people don't know a lot about me, where I've been or what I've done. A lot of people think that I just stopped singing, but I didn't stop singing. Just the audience that has changed, and it took me away from the public eye, where I just started doing a lot of private engagements. During the course of the time, though, I got to learn a lot more about new music. So Marvin Hamlisch, the late Marvin Hamlisch from Broadway and movies and et cetera, he said, you know what? You would sound good singing with an orchestra. He said, but you have to sing different music and you'd have to get charts. So fortunately, orchestras book 6 months or a year ahead, so it gave me a time to learn. So I went back to school, bought lots of albums and studied Ella Fitzgerald and even Lena Horne and Billie Holiday and all of these people who I'd never really paid that much attention to, because see, I came from Texas and sang in the Baptist Church choir, so all I knew was Aretha Franklin. So if Aretha didn't sing it, I didn't sing it. Okay,
I didn't know it.
That's really brave. That's very brave to go and reinvent yourself at a point at which you're already successful. I just have to say that you've been very brave in talking about a lot of things that artists commonly talk about now, but were not talked about when you were first dealing with them. Things like your struggles with depression,
yes.
multiple sclerosis,
yes.
and even the whole vagaries of weight and how that played into your career. Is it still a struggle? Do you feel like it's something that you have to, what's the word I'm looking for?
You have to hide.
Hide.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I think it is, because otherwise I don't think that these young people would be taking such great lengths to be someone other than who they are and live such destructive lives. I'm 53 years old. I never thought that I would be sitting here talking to you. Mm-hmm. I used to think, I said to myself, I probably would have had a much better career if I could invent myself something to go into rehab. Because if you're an alcoholic or drug addict, it's just a sexier thing. And it's just a more acceptable thing. But mental health problems still gets the door shut.
What's made the difference for you, though, in your being willing and able to battle this? And I know it's a lifelong battle.
You know, not only did I try to take my own life, but those of us who are in the spiritual world, others have tried to take my life as well. But God made the difference for me, in the sense that he held on to me to love me so much to keep leaving me here. But I still had to choose life, though. I had to fight for it. I continually still fight every day for my life, not only still battling mental health problems, but battling multiple sclerosis, which also has depression as one of its side effects. So every day when I wake up, I don't know what day is going to be. I have been blind. I have been paralyzed. But each day, if I wake up, then I know he's left me here for a reason, and I have to say yes. Mm. And I have to get up, and I have to make the best of that day.
And the weight loss, how did that figure into that? And has that been its own a journey for you?
Or that has been a separate journey in and of itself. After my suicide attempt, and I'm in a sanatorium, and when they come around and they start talking to you, first of all, they want to know, why did you try to take your life? What do you think is the problem? So one of the problems that I felt, that I had just really been dropped by Geffen Records and didn't know what I was going to do with my career, and I just kept gaining more and more weight. I had ballooned up to 345 pounds. It was the age of videos, you know, we had just started. So they said, well, Jennifer, you can sing, but you're unattractive. So mm-hmm. if we make a video of you, we'd have to stretch you mm-hmm. or put you in a shadow box and put people around you. And that was the 80s, so dance music was coming up and all of this kind of stuff, you know. So they were like, you know, we can't make videos with you. So you got a great voice, but no use for you. So they kicked me to the curb, you know. And so I said, so that would help. I said, probably I could have a boyfriend if I lost weight. I could have a relationship. It would just be all right. So they said, well, there's this new surgery. It has not been approved yet. And that was the gastric bypass. I was one of the first to have that. So I did that. I lost weight really quickly. Lost all the weight. Found out I still had the same issues. Still had the same problems. 200 pounds smaller, same issues, okay? Baggage still there. Back to counseling.
Good message there. At least you settled the question for those
Back
who want to know.
Back to counseling.
Well, congratulations on all of that, though.
Thank you.
And again, what else do you want to hear from the album? Was there something on the album that means that particularly meaningful for you that you want to hear?
Well, the album deals with love and relationships. So it starts off with love dance and things like that of the romance of it, where you're flirting and love is wonderful, you fall in love. Then it goes from that point to where you have to really fall in love with people as they are, and you have complications and you work things out, and then some things don't work out and you break up. So one song that I wrote is called The One You Used to Be. And I wrote this song because about a little over 2 years ago, I was in a relationship and had a very bad breakup. Mm. As with a lot of people, once you get married, the person who you didn't know or you thought you knew becomes totally different. And that could be with me, too. He probably could have said the same thing about me, but he didn't, okay? But anyway. Okay, he didn't say that, all
he
right?
Didn't say that,
no, he didn't.
I'll take your word.
Okay, he'll tell you that he messed up. But anyway, so I wrote this song just about how sometimes people change and it just destroys everything. And you wish you could get it back, but you aren't able to get it back. Can you say? The other thing, too, where I was saying with the lyrics, it says, don't take away my memories. Just let me hold on to the one you used to be. And the reason why I ended it like that, because sometimes the breakups are worse because we try to not only just break up. It's one thing to break up and leave. It's all right if you want to go. But why do we have to try to say that they didn't have anything? Because what does that mean? If they didn't have anything, you wouldn't have been drawn to that. You know what I'm saying? So
sure.
There must have been something of value that a person has that they could take to the next relationship and say, okay, you're terrible at this, but let me tell you what you're good at. And maybe the next one you could develop whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You know, but why do we have to destroy a person in the
sense? I don't know. It's just, you're right. There's some people like that. They can't just say, well, it's not working out.
Yeah,
it's got to be your horrible.
Well, then go, just go.
Yeah.
You know, wrong. The problem with you is. Well, no, that's not the problem with me. That's not my problem. No, it's not.
It's just not. Let's just say it's just not working
just
out.
It's just not working out. Just go head on.
Well, thank you for coming over to see us. We sure do appreciate it. You know, I wanted to ask you, you've already been dropping some knowledge throughout our conversation, but I did want to ask, as a person who's had such an interesting journey, if you had some wisdom that you wanted to pass on.
A lot of times we base everything just on our immediate circumstance. We don't see a big picture for our lives. We don't love ourselves. We don't have a way of kind of gauging the future, so we count it lost, which is what I think is with the young people, because they get so much so quick now that they go, okay, well, it can't get no better than this. Let's just chuck away life. Let's just kill ourselves. Let's destroy, because it can't get any better than this. I've already had sex. I've already had drugs. I've already lost a job. I've already seen my parents get divorced. I've already da-da. What else is there left? But there is life left. Something that we don't even know ahead of us. And at 53 years old, just when I thought that every dream, every hope
even New Love. I haven't had time to talk to you about that, but I have Love Again.
Oh, all right.
You
know? Glad to hear that.
I'm so glad myself to hear that. But what I'm saying is that don't try to figure out the ending of the movie. Stay to see it. Don't try to figure out how the book ends, because it takes different twists and turns. And how do we adapt to each twist and turn? Just because I'm a singer doesn't mean I'm better than someone else. You know, I'd be so wealthy now just if I could sell singing. But I can't. If you can't sing, you can't sing. I got nothing I can do for you, you know? But that doesn't mean I'm better than you. That doesn't mean that the gift that I have is better than your gift. Let's find out what your gift is. And I tell people my favorite thing is it'll get greater later, but you got to stick around to see your life turn around. If you don't stick around, then you'll never know.
I'm not going to answer all that hate mail if I don't play a little bit from, and I'm telling you.
You got to do it.
I'm not going.
I have to listen. I don't mind, and I sing it at every concert. I don't make people beg for it or plead okay. or roll on the floor or pay extra money, because it has allowed me. It's a great love song, but it's also a song of survival. And I'm telling you, I'm not going nowhere.
I've been visiting with the Tony and Grammy award-winning artist Jennifer Holliday. Her album is called The Song Is You, but we're going to hear from that song. Jennifer Holliday, thank you so much for speaking with us and visiting
you.
With us today.
Thank you so much.
And I am telling you,
that's our program for today, this Martin Luther King Day. I'm Michelle Martin. This is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more tomorrow.